What are the biggest differences? You've been out on the West Coast before. You spent time at Arizona State. Life in the SEC versus life in the Big Ten, and how much does it matter from a recruiting standpoint? And is it more about the school or the conference? I know that's three-tiered, but I got it all in right there.
I think when you just the recruiting aspect, like at Arkansas, we had to make a decision, how are we going to recruit? I think each coach of any sport's got to figure out what are they going to do? And our thought process was to recruit the state of Arkansas really hard, and then to really dive into Texas, mainly Dallas. And we were able to do that with two one and done players in Jordan Walsh and Anthony Black. And then we were able to get Nick Smith out of the state of Arkansas and Moses Moody, and those guys were one and duns. So that was kind of our recruiting niche, at Arkansas, and certainly being in the SEC. When I first got there, the SEC was on the uprise. The year that, my last year at Arkansas, the SEC was so good in basketball that really helped. And there was a lot of players coming out of the SEC that were getting drafted. So that was a huge part of the recruiting process. I think for everybody at USC, UCLA, Washington, Oregon, we're still trying to figure out how are we going to recruit now that we're in the Big Ten. Do you stay regional? I know for us, basketball-wise, there's so many great basketball players in Los Angeles and in Southern California that's got to be from a high school perspective of recruiting. We've got to hit in our own backyard for sure. And then, how much time do you want to spend recruiting outside your area if you have so many great players locally? And so for us, the Los Angeles market, Southern California, is what we want to do. But the USC brand, when you pick up and call a kid in Florida, they know the USC Trojans. So that adds to decision making, and it'll probably help more so in the portal when the recruiting process is much smaller length of time than high school recruiting. Sometimes you recruit nationally, it becomes too difficult to see a player five, six times because we're allowed to see a guy seven times. It's much easier to do that regionally. So I think some players, the conference is super important. I think some players, it's just all about, are they going to stay close to home? Who can watch them play? What's the travel like for their parents? All those become part of decision making in recruiting, whether it's a portal player that's a transfer or whether it's a high school player. And then, league-wise, I think there's a lot of beauty in the Big Ten now because, it's the only league from a basketball standpoint that plays 7 days a week. You're basically playing all across the country. You're playing in Chicago, which is a big market, obviously, when you play Northwestern. You got the LA market when teams play UCLA and USC, and Rutgers in a major media market in the East Coast. So there's a lot of really positive things, although, it is a big difference, Brett, the travel that our guys are going through. SEC travel is so easy. It's an hour flight. Now we're doing two-game road trips as opposed to one in the SEC. And it makes a difference. You got to stay on top of your schoolwork academically because you're away from home, probably twice as much as like an SEC student athlete. So there's a lot of challenges as well. Time management becomes super important.
I was when they made all these changes, and you go from the Stanford and the Arizona classic matchups for years and years to all of a sudden it's Ohio State and Michigan. The one thing for me when they made this vast change in the whole, restructuring of and different colleges and different conferences was the travel. And I thought, as a baseball player back in the day, it was the Pac-6 pretty much. So we'd play Arizona State. That was fun because we got to go on a road trip for the weekend. We'd go up to Stanford, Cal, and then if they had Ubers, then we'd take an Uber and go play UCLA. So everything, the travel was simple, and we used to love to, if we got a back east trip or something preseason, that was like a vacation for us. But you talk about the travel. I was very interested. I kind of have an idea with the football program. That's where all the money comes in. The travel for them is probably different for a Saturday game day versus, but I thought all the other sports, I think of basketball and baseball, and then you go out to the women's basketball, volleyball, swimming. How has that transition been, and how big of an adjustment has it been for not only the coaches on campus, but the kids? Like you said, it's more challenging now from an academic perspective, but how do you travel? I mean, it used to, you know, like I mentioned, it was simple back in the day. Now it's like, no, we're going to the East Coast. And while we're there, we've got to hit several different spots.
Yeah, I mean, what we tried to do is we went and met with the LA Rams and asked them how they did, you know, West Coast to East Coast travel. I still have notes from coaching the Warriors my first year. One of our first East Coast trips was Bay Area to Orlando, and I had a 10 a.m. shoot around, and I'll never forget how bad it was because we didn't have enough time to adjust. And as the Rams said, what their studies were telling them is if you travel three time zones, it takes you 3 days to catch up. If you travel, you know, 2 hour time change, it takes you 2 days, 1 hour, 1 day. We feel it's easier to travel east back to the west than it is west to east. It's super hard. As you know, Brett, from playing, it's so hard to go to sleep the first and second night when you're on West Coast time. And if you're used to going to bed at 11 o'clock at night, you know, now that comes, you know, 2 in the morning, you know, it could be before you can get to sleep. We have not gone out 2 days in advance of our first game east. We've gone out the night before, and it's worked out well for us. We're getting ready to go to Rutgers, Maryland. That's the only trip that we're going to go out 2 days in advance. The women's team, when they went to UConn, they went 2 days early. They've been going 2 days early on all of their trips, obviously. They're playing near flawless basketball, so it's worked out for them going 2 days early. It's worked out pretty well for us just going 1 day early. So I think it's just kind of going to be a year or two experimenting, talking to other teams and seeing, you know, what's best. And everybody's coming to LA, it seems, not just 2 days early. Some teams, you know, are coming 3 days early, and I don't blame them. If you're leaving one of these Big Ten colder climates to come out here, you're going to try to get out as early as possible. But I think we're all learning as time goes in this new Big Ten climate.
It's always fascinating to me to talk to people from the other sports because, you know, when it came to travel, as I got older in my career, the travel became a little bit of an issue. But for baseball players, and so unique to everybody else, because we play 162 games, you get to a point in your brain where it's like you just point your feet where everybody else is going. You get on the plane, you land, you don't know where you are half the time. But these other sports, when you're talking about how do I prepare the best? How do I have my team ready, focused, rested correctly for a game? Like football, they come in to certain cities at a certain time. They're very regimented. We have this is how we do it because it's one game a week in football. And that Sunday, man, it's important. Whereas baseball, it kind of just runs together. And it's like, well, we really don't worry about travel because we're constantly on the plane. And it's like, all right, we get home for 7 days. Then we got a 10-day road trip. And I don't know where we're going. I get on the plane and I land. And it's usually the middle of the night. And we go sleep in a new hotel. We go from there. So it's really interesting to me, the other sports, to talk about the travel, because when you have less games, the games become more important because there's less of them. So for football, that's equal to 7 games for a baseball player. So if you lose, you just had a 7-game losing streak, whereas basketball, it's probably more about half. Yeah. So it's always interesting to get the perspective from that. When you're asked, how do you support USC men's basketball? Obvious answer to me would be, hey, go buy a ticket, go buy a season pass. What is your answer to them when that question's posed to you?
I think one, just show up to a game. It starts with, being in our building, in the Galen Center and watching our team. And then two, I think, obviously, You know, there's merchandise sales, there's donations to the university, there's name, image, and likeness now donations that happen. So there's a whole litany of things that people can support. But I think, you know, it's important that our coaching staff, it's super, super important that our players, that we're connecting with the students on campus, we're connecting with professors on campus, we're connecting with the student body, and then the alumni boosters, and then trying to create new fans is going to be super important for us as well.
When you were sitting down after your time in Arkansas and it was becoming real that you were going to become the USC coach, did you sit down and thought, okay, what are my long-term goals? You've been in the game a long time, like you said, on the NBA side as well as the college game. You've been doing this a long time. So the experience, obviously, you have a lot of experience. But what was your thought on, all right, how am I, with all the things I've gone through and the places you've been, are you sitting with the SC guys kind of giving them a vision of what your long-term plan is for the success of the basketball program long-term? I mean, obviously from a basketball perspective, your goal at the beginning of the season, we got to get to the Final Four. That's not always viable on a year after year basis for some, you know, if you're Duke, if you're North Carolina, I get it. But what's the key to putting yourself in position year after year to have a chance of success, to get into that tournament, to get to the Sweet 16?
Yeah, I think during the interview process, it's always, you know, I look back at you know, interviews in the NBA, and it's always general manager, owner, you know, relationship, vision that they have, and then the vision that you have. And then in college, it's really the athletic director. And so when I met with Jen Cohen, the more we talked, the more excited I became. Arkansas, Brett, in the basketball world is an unbelievable job. I mean, if you're winning in Fayetteville, Arkansas, you're going to get 20,000 fans. If you promote it and you're out in the community, you're going to sell out every single night. And so we understood that was a unbelievable basketball job. But then, you know, to the beginning of your question, like my vision, what I'm looking at and how to recruit, I felt like growing up in San Diego, coaching the Warriors, coaching the Sacramento Kings, coaching the Lakers Development League team in the NBA G League, all those things pointed to connections, ability to recruit the state of California, long-term relationships that I've had. Maybe at Arkansas, I went in there and basically knew nobody in the state. So it was a huge challenge. I do think that based on relationships, this transition was a lot easier in many ways than the Arkansas transition. But both jobs, great jobs. And to me, it was also about a new challenge. 4 years in the SEC, that was awesome. Now you're entering Big Ten play. And how cool is that to coach in two of the premier conferences and to go to all these venues? All those things really add juice to our staff and super excited to do that.